on this episode of Therapy Bites Art Lab.
Hey, Tave Alders, have you ever considered that gratefulness can actually maximize your health? On the next Therapy Bites Art Lab podcast, we're going to talk about how exercising a regular practice of finding things to be grateful for, we call those TFGs, targets for gratefulness, can actually supersize your life and even help you live longer. Join us next.
Welcome to Therapy Bites Art Lab, where Dr. Heath and his special guests share real-life stories of helping and healing. Fresh from the actual therapy couch, while taking a bite out of common counseling missteps and misconceptions. And now, here's Heath and the T-Ball team.
Hey, welcome back to a new episode, and it is our Thanksgiving special episode of Therapy Bites Art Lab. Art Lab stands for Accurate Realistic Thinking and Life-Affirming Beliefs, where we join you every week in a team T-ball session of Therapy Bites Art Lab. And then we have Therapy Bites Thursdays, which is our interview format. Thanksgiving's coming up and the turkey's getting fat. No, I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about the butterball that's going to be sitting on your table. So keep that in mind. And we appreciate you being here. Today we're going to talk about how targets for gratefulness, TFGs, can actually supersize your life, improve your relationships, even improve your immune response in this upcoming flu season. And we have in our art lab today, here to my left actually, is Squirrel Girl Debbie, and she has a shirt on that testifies that she is a crazy squirrel lady, not a crazy cat lady, but her power creature is a squirrel. And that's a whole psychoanalysis session of its own that we'll leave alone, and we'll talk about thankfulness. And right over here to my right is Gamer Girl Heather, and she does a lot of her editing and tech stuff. And then right over here to my right is Bookworm Sarah, who is all about running our controls, because that's just how she rolls. She loves the whole control thing. But we're very thankful for that. And I can just sit here and just focus on controlling my coffee. Yes, that is a Therapy Bites mug. It says on the back, if you have a hard time shutting people up, try listening to them instead. You can get that off our Therapy Bites Shopify store. Just a little shameless plug there. No shame here with that. Well, let's talk about gratitude and your experience of gratitude and thankfulness in your lives, ladies. Have you found out that it is both a struggle sometimes, especially in hard times, to find things to be grateful for? But then what are some of the benefits that you've learned about in exercising gratitude?
I have found thankfulness to be a very powerful tool, a very powerful thing. And in difficult times, I have, of course, had times where it's very difficult to find something to be thankful for. You know, an example that I've used before is when my husband went through cancer, and there was a lot of difficult times, and I just was struggling to find something to be thankful for. And his input was, hey, you know what? We had the opportunity to bless a bunch of people that we normally wouldn't have, and meet a bunch of people we normally wouldn't have, because the people at the cancer treatment center were wonderful, and the hospitals, and just others that we've encountered. And it's all about perspective. It's a matter of perspective.
And what have you found as a way, I mean, in some of your deepest, darkest moments? We have an episode coming up on the dark night of the soul. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. I've had lots of patients who talk about the dark night of the soul, and that comes from the experience of St. John of the Cross, if you'll research that. And then there's lots of others who've had experience with that. But if you're in that dark night of the soul, it almost sounds to many people listening that it's kind of impractical, that it's just kind of a fairy tale. You're telling me that when I have, well, in your case, just gotten a cancer diagnosis, there's something to be grateful for? I mean, come on, what are you smoking? That when I've lost a loved one, there's something to be grateful for? I mean, really? Seriously? And by the way, we're not talking about playing this episode at someone's funeral. We're talking about, as you begin to heal, allowing yourself to at least be observant of some possible targets for gratefulness, because they're there. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. what are some of the tips, tricks, and techniques that you guys have found useful in your lives?
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to making it a daily practice, mm-hmm. because the things that we, you know, practice become a habit, and once it's a habit, it's more natural. And I'll let you explain the neuroscience behind that, Dr. Heath, but it becomes more natural to just do it in your daily life. If you, the first thing you do is wake up and, you know, not to get super religious here, but the first thing I tend to do is wake up and just thank you, God, for another day, you know, that you've given me another day to spend with people that I care about and do what I need to do. So I try to use it as a daily practice.
Well, yeah, I mean, whatever you give your brain to do, whatever you practice, your brain really doesn't care. Your brain is completely non-discriminatory when it comes to what you decide to give it to practice. Many of you listening and watching on our YouTube channel are familiar with people that are master catastrophizers. There's really no difficult situation that they can't make worse, that are master complainers. And I don't want to bleep this out. We only say this to kind of tongue-in-cheek make a difference. I don't use these words often, but some people have a greater proliferation, it seems, of BGC cells. Kitties, leave the room. I'm about to say a naughty word. Bitch, gripe, complain cells, BGC, that's a special type of neuron that sometimes, if we practice too much, we have a whole proliferation of those. But based on Sarah's point, that's exactly how it works. If you get out of bed every morning, just for example, and I'm going to pick something that's just kind of Fruit Loopy here, and you get up and the first thing you do is put your feet on the floor, number one, and number two, wiggle your toes. Do that for 30 days. I guarantee you, you will engineer a whole host of toe wiggling neurons. That's right. Let's see, what's that? TWNs. Tones. I love my acronyms. You'll develop a whole host of toe wiggling neurons, because whatever you give your brain to do, your brain will want to do more of it. Why? Because it is a survival mechanism. Moving your foot from gas pedal to brake pedal, you don't have to consciously think about that. It has become subsumed or implicit at a level of implicit processing for safety purposes. Who wants to go around thinking, okay, let's see, red light, I know it's something to do with my foot. I'm left-handed. I'm not left-handed. My son is, though. But if you're left-handed, oh, you think, oh, I know it's my right foot, not my left foot, and I'm supposed to do something with it, move it. How many inches? 4.5, 5 inches? Well, you've already had a wreck. For safety purposes, your brain, click, 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 begins to put these things on automatic pilot, and gratefulness is one of the best things that you can put on automatic pilot. And that requires, as Sarah said, practice. And that practice begins with what? Making a commitment with yourself. Okay? Mm-hmm. One of the healthiest things, other things, you can do in life is to make and keep commitments with yourself. Make and keep contracts with yourself. We want to recommend to you this Thanksgiving season to make a commitment to yourself. You don't have to tell anybody. That's another thing. We'll talk about that coming up. Make a commitment with yourself to be mindful, and that term gets bantied about a lot, and maybe we'll have time to talk about what that means, to be mindful of things for which you can be grateful. And there is always, always, always a reason to be grateful. If you're not finding things to be grateful for, well, I would say get a magnifying glass in your life, psychologically anyway, and look deeper. You're simply underthinking. We have lots of people talk about overthinking. In my experience, I've never found anybody. That's for those of you that are not watching, you're listening to this, Sarah's just popped up the underthinking ant.
Hey.
And the underthinking ant has a big, long telescope and is focusing its eyeball on one single thing, as we often do as humans, and that means we're ignoring all other kinds of important aspects of the situation. Life is more about what you miss than what you really focus in on too much. You know, I've not met somebody that I thought was overthinking, and after we got finished with our session, they didn't think so either. If you think you're overthinking something, please reach out. Shoot me an email, therapybites@yahoo.com. That's therapybites@yahoo.com. Send it to me. Challenge me. We'll have a debate. I love debates. And maybe you'll convince me. But maybe not. Usually it's actually underthinking. And not being thankful is one of the biggest areas that we underthink. Maybe what's a personal story of you guys where you were underthinking and not finding value and thankfulness in a situation that's the proverbial four-leaf clover that you've overlooked before? That's a song from the 70s, by the way.
Well, I mean, that example I gave earlier is an example of when we were going through the cancer, and that all I was focused on was all the negative aspects.
And yes. You know why that is? Okay, put your neuroscience thinking caps on. Why might we be guilty of underthinking in a situation where survival is in question? Why might that be the case? And here's where we cue the Jeopardy music. But for copyright reasons, we cannot do that. But you can imagine it in your head, and that's still legal. You know how it goes. Here's the Jeopardy music. Well, the answer to that is it's for safety purposes.
Right.
You don't want to be running from a grizzly bear or a rabid turkey. You veterinarians out there, are there such things as rabid turkeys? You don't want to get bitten, flogged, clawed by a rabid turkey. You don't really want to be running from a rabid turkey and then trying to find reasons to be grateful for that, because it's two very different things. Gratefulness kind of competes in situations like that where there's actually threat to life or limb.
Mm-hmm.
Until you realize that maybe the threat is not as deep as you might think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when it comes to cancer, what did you guys find out?
This podcast is HIPAA compliant. No identifying patient information will be disclosed without permission from patients or guardians. All personal stories will be de-identified in order to comply with HIPAA, the NASW Code of Ethics, and the ethical principles of psychologists and code of conduct.
Fresh from the therapy couch, these are stories of real life people, real life situations, and I'm Doc Keith, your friendly neighborhood neuromechanic. Thanksgiving's coming up, and I think that's actually the date that this podcast episode is dropping into your inbox. And I'd like to talk about stories that I hear about collaboration and communication. Often holidays are very difficult because people have lost the skill and practice of how to collaborate. I'd like to offer to you to view this as an opportunity to connect with people. Now, why might that be important? Because your brain has a whole area that just loves collaboration. And so light up that area of your brain this Thanksgiving and this holiday season, because that will increase relationship success. That will also improve immune function. It will reduce free radical activity in your body. And it will just biggie-size your life. Go out there and connect with somebody. Happy Thanksgiving.
You're listening to Therapy Bites Art Lab, bite-sized therapy for your brain with Dr. Heath and the T-Ball Team. The best advice on the net. No copay required.
It's time for Secret Side Disorders, and this is Doc Heath. Oh, no, I'm not Doc Heath. Forget about that. I am the anonymous psychotherapist. Today's Secret Side Disorder is agoraphobia. Agoraphobia is derived from the name of a gathering place in ancient Greece called the Agora. And agoraphobia is thinking that gathering in the place of assembly is a danger to you. A lot of you guys during Thanksgiving may think that getting together in a large group is a danger to you, but think again, just because you're uncomfortable, that does not equal danger. Just because it's non-preferred doesn't mean it's a threat to you. So go ahead to that place of gathering. Go ahead to that agora and join in, communicate, collaborate, make it a great Thanksgiving. We'll catch you next time on Psych Secrets.
Here's Heath and the T-Ball team.
Oh, we found out that with his treatments, it was highly curable. And so he is cancer-free now.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Exactly. Cancer does not mean a death sentence, nor do many, many, many other diagnoses, but your brain will react as if it was a death sentence, and you will fast forward, time travel yourself into the future to the 6-foot hole in the ground, the big pile of dirt that the backhoe just dug out, the tombstone, the mourners, when that's not even happened.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll live that now as if it's already happened. And one thing that can short-circuit that is back to our topic on gratefulness.
Mm-hmm.
Some things I would say, and of course I've not been through your experience, and my grandfather died of cancer, my mom's dad, but I wasn't, he was in another state, and we weren't really as close as I would like to have been at that point. You know, people lose touch. And you guys were right there at ground zero, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I would guess you some thoughts. What were some thoughts that you had?
You mean like thankful thoughts or just in general?
Oh, no, no. Let's go the other way. You know, we talk about Therapy Bites Art Lab is our stories fresh from the therapy couch, but also from the darker recesses beneath. Let's go to the darker recesses beneath. Some of the catastrophizing thoughts.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, absolutely. The thought about death immediately, of course, came up. Mm-hmm. I had thoughts about how I was going to survive, you know, without him. The thing, you know, how life was going to be at home without him. I also was concerned about not knowing how chemotherapy was going to affect him. Was he going to be real sick? You know, what was he going to be like? And, you know, would they get all the cancer or had it spread somewhere else? Were we going to get through everything and find out that he had other cancers to deal with? There was just a lot, you know, and then he had the nephrostomy tube, and that was rough. Didn't know if he'd have to have something like that for life, or, you know, how that was going to affect him. Was his kidney going to be able to be saved? Just a lot of medical and life concerns.
Yeah. And we talk about these being open loops. An open loop is a lack, here's a psychological term, of gestalt. Gestalt, G-E-S-T-A-L-T, is completeness. You know, complete. I'm doing a little circle in the air here, guys, making an air circle. Completing a loop, completing a circle, wholeness, completeness. And when you get a diagnosis, it kind of shatters all that because there's so many unanswered questions. And the human brain perceives lack of knowledge as a threat. And one of the things that can short-circuit that is bringing your mind, hence being mindful of some of these things, such as what advances in medical treatment, an accurate diagnosis, a very specific treatment plan, treatment protocol, the expertise of your medical professionals. And by the way, let me just talk on that when it comes to therapy. No offense, not all therapies or therapists are created equal. I once asked someone if a black belt in Taekwondo went up against a black belt in Kung Fu, who would win? And the young man gave me the best answer I could ever possibly imagine. He said, the best technician. When you are searching for therapy, all therapists aren't created equally. Search out the best technician, the one that is a master of their chosen protocol of therapy. And there's a little hint for you guys about therapy is, yes, there should be a protocol. If there's no protocol, there's no plan. If there's no plan, you will never reach a goal. There must be a plan. And I think, Debbie, what you found is, and correct me if I'm wrong, that there's a very definite plan of treatment when it came to treating this cancer.
And we were very, very careful and selective to choose who treated him. You know, we went somewhere that we knew had people, and his oncologist was someone who specifically worked with his specific type of cancer and had written lots of papers on it and researched and taught, and so he was very knowledgeable.
Imagine applying that to choosing your clinician in psychotherapy, you know, somebody that is really dialed in to treating that and has a lot of experience. Okay, I don't want to get off on a tangent here. What are some other targets for gratefulness do you think that you might recommend that our listeners look out for and listen out for? I'm pointing at my ear here. Listen out for over the Thanksgiving season. What are some things we can all be grateful for?
I know we don't really have this issue at Thanksgiving, but I know some people have difficult family members that come in, and there can be some difficult conversations. But, you know, just being grateful that you have family members to have those difficult conversations with, because some people don't have family members to have, you know, either difficult or preferred conversations with. So if you're able to sit around the table, even with the Friendsgiving, if you've got friends that you consider family, just being grateful that you have people that you can spend time with.
Absolutely.
Cue the applause, because that those are such wise words, because instead of looking at this difficult encounter or uncomfortable encounter, you can look at it as a challenge and an opportunity. You can decide, is it's going to be something that is a blessing or a curse? And our timer's going off, so saying it's about time to close out the episode today, but we want to get a last few important things in.
Yes.
Whether it is a blessing or a curse, an opportunity or a catastrophe, that is strictly between you and your brain cells. It will be as you decide it'll be. It'll be, oh me, or amen, so be it. Amen literally means so be it. What are some other tips and some other opportunities to be thankful for?
Friends, family. I think also just being able to be there, like being able to yourself be part of things, being able to be alive and experience things and be present in the moment. So make sure, you know, like we've talked about with the mindfulness and stuff, practicing that and being present in the moment, even if there are difficult things going on around you, and being thankful that you have the opportunity to be there and experience that, and not just kind of dissociate and not be part of that.
Right, absolutely. And I want to give you a bit of a thought experiment as we begin to close out the episode. And what I'm going to leave you with today are six steps toward developing your own TFGs, your own targets for gratefulness this Thanksgiving season. But here's the thought experiment first. Actually, I think I'll come at you with that last. I think that may be more interesting. Here are your six steps. Number one, choose a target for gratefulness. It could be anything. It could be however many toes you have on your feet. It could be the size of your nose. I'm particularly proud of the large, prominent size of my nose. I'm just joking. But that's how I'm made, and I'm glad for that. Choose your target for gratefulness. Number two, explore overlooked aspects of your target for gratefulness, and there's always some. Explore overlooked aspects. Number three, breathe. And there's Alexa talking to us. She found something on the web about this, evidently. Number three is breathe as you become mindful of these precious facets of this TFG target for gratefulness. Number four, agree with yourself to continue being mindful of this gratitude focus throughout your Thanksgiving season as you prepare your evening meal, as you enjoy each bite of food, as you spend time with yourself and others significant to you. Number five, Realize that gratitude, like oxygen, may be breathed in and breathed out and shared with others the same way we share the oxygen in the room. Gratitude, folks, cultivates relationships, improves physical and mental health, engineers greater levels of empathy, perspective taking, it reduces inaccurate, unrealistic thoughts, and it promotes accurate, realistic thinking, as well as promoting sleep hygiene and building resilience. And finally, number six, share. Thanksgiving is all about sharing, not just food, but sharing ourselves. Share your TFG, your target for gratefulness, in the comments on our YouTube channel, in the comments for this episode. Let us celebrate those with you. Share your targets for gratefulness with others. And finally, here is your thought experiment. When you find yourself in a difficult situation with someone, you're catastrophizing this encounter, you're catastrophizing this conversation, try this. Imagine that you are in the last 30 minutes of your life, the last 30 minutes of your life, and you're given another year to live. But, and some of you fans of the podcast, you've heard this thought experiment before, and I'm revising it for Thanksgiving. But you're given the opportunity to live another 12 months, another 12 months. However, the deal's this. Here's the deal. You must every day go through this same 30-minute conversation, this same difficult 30-minute conversation every day for the next year, but you get another year. Would you turn the year down? I don't think so. I think you would take the year. You know why? Because that situation, that conversation you're catastrophizing is not quite so catastrophic at all. We want to help you rethink your life's experience, and your life's experience comes to you as a gift box that is empty and will be full of what you decide to put in it. This Thanksgiving season, fill it with gratitude. You won't regret it. Enjoy your turkey and your cranberry sauce. I know I certainly will. Thank you, Heather and Debbie and Sarah, for being here. I am thankful for all you guys, and we're thankful for you listeners. We look forward to seeing you next time. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Bye, guys.
Welcome to this week's homemade Thanksgiving creature feature. I'm Grandma Sarah, and I'm here to talk to you about this little bug right here, the underthinking ant. The underthinking ant is missing out on so many psychological nutritious things because he can only see things that are not important. He's missing out on important aspects of a situation. So instead of enjoying a difficult conversation with Grandpa Joe, all he notices is Grandpa Joe's political affiliations. He doesn't know how many years he has left with Grandpa Joe, but if he would pull that little telescope off his eyeball, he might find something very valuable. So this holiday season, I'm encouraging you from the bottom of my grandma's heart, don't be like the underthinking ant.
Hey, T-Ballers. Thanks so much for being with us today. If we brought value to your day, show us some love by leaving your positive feedback and inviting some friends to listen in and join the T-Ball team. Next time on Therapy Bites Art Lab.
Compliments and criticism, the psychology of shaming, on this episode of Therapy Bites Art Lab.